Welcome back to the Rewatchmen, everyone. I'm TC, and with me, as always, is
Ben.
Ben.
And Mike.
We have a guest in here today. He'll be on later. He'll be on later, unless he has things to say now. But he's just gonna relax in the hot box that is my room. It's February, right?
Makes sense.
Why is it so damn hot? California.
Jasmine must be in the room.
Yeah, I can imagine all.
Oh.
Crocheting over there. What are you doing? Oh, she's making a hat. Okay. You can buy those.
For this hot weather.
Our Wisconsin listeners right now are like, oh, let's complain about the heat. It's 40 below here. They've been having a heat wave. It's been in like the 30s.
Yeah. It's just blizzarding, if that's a word.
Blizzarding.
Oh, what a week of news and trailers, Ben. Thank you, Super Bowl, for giving us TV spots to wear.
The only reason for us nerds to watch.
And then they released them all online.
Yeah.
So you didn't even have to watch the game. Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game.
Mike, did you watch the game?
I did.
Yeah.
He's a Chargers fan.
Well, yeah. I was just drinking more than watching.
That's what football is all about. Yeah. I went to a party in Candace's neighborhood in this very nice home that's like more money to build that place than I'll ever see in my entire life. And 60 people there all in front of a giant TV, all the fans watching, and the other half just chittering like chickens. Just,
who had this done for the pool? Who had this for the pool? Oh, I won! Oh, my God!
That's what it sounded like. Ben, you are prepared today. Look at you.
I am.
Tom broke up.
I have paper.
Do you want me to
pen?
Put that into the teleprompter? And
you should frame this.
I'm not going to frame it. Let's jump right into the news.
Let's go.
Boom.
First news today. Okay. So DC has announced they're releasing prequels to the original Watchmen comic.
The Watchmen.
Yes. And we've discussed this a little bit already.
It's true. It's
true. Do you feel like...
It's a tie into our web... To this podcast, the Rewatchmen.
Yes, it is.
The pre-Watchmen.
The pre-Watchmen.
Anyway.
Okay.
So they're releasing prequels.
Yes, for each character. And how do you feel about this? Do you feel like there's more to tell in this universe? Or if it's necessary at all?
At first thought, no, come on.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. It is what it is. It's great for what it is. But... The more I thought about it, the more I read some of the articles about it, especially the stuff that Alan Moore's saying.
Yeah.
I'm actually supportive of this. particularly
just out of spite?
Well, not necessarily out of spite, but some good points were made that the Watchmen themselves were not those characters. They were adapted from Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, The Question, and I can't remember the other two, but they weren't... Night Owl, Rorschach, the comedian. It wasn't those characters. Alan Moore wanted to write this story about Blue Beetle and the crew from the Charleston comics.
Yeah.
And DC was like, no, we don't want to... We like your story, but we don't want to... We want to use these characters. And what you had planned for them would make them pretty much too R-rated to use.
Yeah.
Can you change them? So he altered them. And not only that, what has he made his name doing, but taking characters that have already existed and doing them himself. The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen... I sent you that article about the Alice, Dorothy, and... what was the other one? Alice, Dorothy, and...
Mulan?
No. Well, three characters
who, Lost Girls?
Yeah, the Lost Girls series, which is super X-rated.
Like, yeah.
These are...
Yeah,
these
are, Jasmine was reading it, and she's like, Oh my God!
Clips. It's about Alice... From Alice in Wonderland, Dorothy, and damn it, who's the other one? But there's like super hardcore sex in this book.
Yeah.
Do you think L. Frank Baum is thrilled that Dorothy is suddenly this vixen? And Lewis Carroll, he's probably too doped up to even care. If someone brought it up to him, he'd be like, the walls are melting! So
literary humor.
Alan Moore can't really be upset by the Watchmen prequels.
Yeah.
And really, these characters are so multifaceted as they are. Why not delve into them really deeply?
Yeah.
More deeply. I'm all for it. I know you were like, no!
I'm still hesitant. I would love to see what they do with Rorschach.
Mm-hmm.
I know Azzarello and Lee Bermejo are tackling that, so that's going
to
be cool.
Azrael from the 100 Bullets fame.
100 Bullets, yeah.
So if anyone knows how to do gritty crime stories, it's Brent Azrael.
It'll be cool. It's going to be cool. But other than that, I don't know. I don't feel like there's much left to tell in that universe.
We can get some more movies out of this. Dude... Did you like the Watchmen movie?
No.
No?
I've good only man. Seen it once, though. Yeah. And I don't know. I just didn't grab.
Go ahead.
I also have absolutely no, like, frame of reference. I've never read the comics.
Right.
I wasn't aware of it until I saw a preview in the movie. So, you know, I wasn't invested in any way. But it did, yeah, I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
It was fine.
Well, that's good to hear an opinion from someone who wasn't, like you said, invested in
yeah.
it. Because me, I wrote my English thesis for my degree about comic books, specifically The Watchmen. So I had a deep investment into the series. And then I saw the movie and was like, wow, what are they doing?
But, so you didn't like it.
Well, at first I had to, like, digest it. I walked out of it like, I think I liked it, yeah. but I think I hated it.
And I remember we both kind of saw it around the same time.
Yeah.
And we were both like, hey. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And then we waited like a week and then we came back and we're like, hey. I don't think I like it as much anymore.
They did so much right in that movie based on with the characters. It was a very good interpretation of Rorschach and Dr. Manhattan. But
they overall, were badass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the comedian was even handled really well. But there's, I don't know, there's just something Zack Snyder's approach to it, making it very Hollywood action. The book itself is not an action book. It's very dramatic. So it was a weird, it was an odd interpretation. The best thing that came out during that was they did the motion comic. Like you can watch the comic as basically a moving, it's like a cartoon, but not animated, just kind of like, cardboard cutout movie. And it's the full series, and that's really, really cool. So me, I'm like, hey, they made it, it's done, we don't have to argue about it anymore, we can move on. Read the book if you want to. Watch the movie if you want to, whatever.
So is it a series or just a book?
It was a 13-part miniseries.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's very Cold War, 1980s.
Well, yeah, there's, yeah.
Yeah. And their modernization of it was... good and bad. So I'm really on the fence with... I don't hate it. I don't love it. So. But Ben, on the other hand, is like, no!
Nay, sir. Nay.
Is that all I have to say?
That's
about
all I have to say.
Ben has spoken. Next story.
That is all. Well, Happy Madison and company are adapting.
Cool, next the story.
No segue.
Oh, no, okay, good.
Adam Sandler and his production company are adapting the Candyland board game into a full-length movie.
Would it be Candyland? Where's your
photo? Oh, shishé.
You do an Adam Sandler, Mike?
What? No. I guess I should.
Please
though.
Do. Everyone.
Well, essentially,
has.
You could make any voice and be doing an Adam Sandler. Yeah. Yeah, but he does do that really whiny thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up. Candyland. Well, we've seen how closely they can adapt a board game to its source material. I mean, Battleship. Well, that's everything I've imagined while playing Battleship was. Was that right? And you know what? That Battleship game is bullshit. Because okay? If you were in the middle of the ocean, you wouldn't have to guess where a freaking battleship is. You could just look and go, shoot there. I mean, what's with the divider in between? The game just
That's
does so out of context. You know what I'm saying? Like, the boats aren't hidden in the ocean. The only thing hidden is the submarine. So really it should be like, you hide the submarine, and then I should just be able to look at your board and... I'm totally... When we talk Candyland? Where's the Chutes and Ladders movie, guys?
Well, we already know what TC is going to say about this.
No, what?
So I suggest we should try to guess the cast of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And cast this ourselves.
Okay. Jeez, I haven't played Candyland since I was like 8.
So. Well, I got one for you. How about Chris Rock as Lord Licorice?
Why does he got to be a black thing, man?
Just he's got okay. it. He's a token black guy.
Okay, Lord Licorice.
Kathy Bates is Grandma Nut.
Okay.
Kevin James is Plumpy.
That makes sense.
That does. And here's the best one. Steve Buscemi is Gloppy the Molasses Monster.
Where's Rob Schneider? Is he just going to...
He's going to be everything else.
Okay. He'll be the die. Or the dice. Were there dice in that game? I think there were.
Probably.
You just pulled a card.
Yeah, okay.
What's
a
stupid movie.
Well, here. This is a game meant for toddlers. It better be a movie made for toddlers.
Isn't all his movies?
Are you?
Yeah.
There was a time. Oh, we have an addition. Hello, Steve. Welcome back.
Well, hello.
we're just doing news, so you feel free to chime in, but I'll really stick you in front of the mic once we start reviewing the movie.
Excellent.
So, enjoy your food if you'd like.
I won't be eating for now.
Okay.
Anyway. I enjoyed your guys' podcast, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
That was awesome.
I've enjoyed your guys' podcasts.
There's many of them.
Sure.
Yeah, Mike was a fan before you.
Was. Yeah. I was a member before you.
Oh, damn. Ooh, he's got you there.
I kill myself right now, no big deal.
Ladies, ladies.
Well, we were just talking about the Candyland movie that Adam Sandler and crew are going to make.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's happening?
Yeah, it's happening. So
it's happening.
Yeah. Can we move on from that?
Yes, please.
I don't want to talk about Candyland anymore. I did a rant about Battleship that you missed. You'll hear it later.
Excellent.
Moving from unnecessary adaptations, we go on to more unnecessary 80s remakes.
Uh-oh.
They're planning on remaking Bloodsport and Death Wish.
Without Van Damme?
Without Van Damme.
This is outrageous.
Yes. And from the description of it, it all sounds like just any other movie. It doesn't sound like Bloodsport at all. It just sounds like the title slapped on.
Well, like, Bloodsport and Death Wish is the Charles Bronson one.
Yeah.
I was thinking of another Bloodsport. But, like, Bloodsport is just the typical tournament-style fighting movie,
yeah.
Right? What new could we bring to this table?
That's what I was saying. Like,
I feel from two out of
All right.
Oh, okay.
Just like, how would a contemporary setting improve, like, the story at whatsoever, you know? And which made me think, like, what 80s movie could actually improve if we put it in, like, a modern context?
Well, so before we go further than that, so Bloodsport, just the tournament style fighting. Death Wish is the man. Taken is the new blood.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything? What more could we do with the whole revenge guy with a gun scenario that Death Wish is?
Make his gun bigger.
Okay, so you're saying, how do we take the 80s? What 80s thing could be redone? And, well, we...
Death Wish is like super 70s.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not even 80s, it's 70s. And that movie changed cinema in a way because it was so hyper-violent for its era that people were like, somebody think of the children! It made a huge effect on cinema.
Yeah,
and the revenge scenario and rooting for the villain. I mean, you've probably seen it more than once.
I've actually right seen it once.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Goldblum was awesome, though.
Well, it's
Random Rapist Number Two.
Yes, that's my favorite role of his.
Best work.
I'm going to rape you.
Must go faster.
But Ben, you're asking what 80s.
I think an example that I like to use is Karate Kid. And,
listen to this blasphemy.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know. Go ahead, say
Have you guys seen the new one with Jackie Chan and James?
Yeah, pretty bad.
It's bad?
Pretty shitty.
Go ahead, say it, Ben. Say it.
I don't think we can be friends, Ben.
He likes it more. He likes the Jaden Smith one better.
It's like a really bad first date.
Well, it's weird. I was actually excited about the new Karate Kid.
Well, you were just crazy,
like,
too.
But I hated it. I thought I would like it. I really did. I was like, this is going to be fun. And it just wasn't. And I really didn't like it at all.
Defend yourself.
I had like that same feeling, but except going back to watching the 80s one with Mr. Miyagi.
Well, yeah, when's the last time you watched
it? It's been a while.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking, okay, about the Van Damme movies. It's like, a lot of times, like, you'll think about a movie that's old and remember when you first saw it and be like, it was fucking great. Like, we can't change that. And then you see it and you're like, we gotta change that.
Dude,
like,
Bloodsport still kicks ass.
Bloodsport's still awesome.
That's,
you know, I mean, I haven't said it in a long time, so I don't know.
And that's what Ben and I came together with this whole podcast to begin with, is like, there are some movies that people just love, but when's the last time they actually watched it?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Within the last year for both of those movies.
And do they need to be remade?
Hell no. Karate Kid did not need to be remade, and Bloodsport does not. Bloodsport would lose everything if we remade it. You wouldn't have Van Damme, you wouldn't have the cheesy 80s like stuff, like, you wouldn't have that...
It's the synthesizer. It's the kitsch factor of those movies. They are those cliches. I mean, hell, Death Wish 2, I mean, Death Wish also, it's McBain from The Simpsons. Like, they reference that in comedy revenge scenarios with Death Wish, and Bloodsport is a joke. But,
apparently based on a true story.
Bloodsport. No, sure. Well, hey, they've slept on it.
No joke.
You're lying. It's not based on a true story. And you know what? How is Bloodsport any different than what's the Bruce Lee movie that we watched?
Enter the Dragon?
Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
Tournament style, bring them all together,
yeah.
Kick ass to the end.
Hmm.
It's the same thing over and over
again.
I think Enter the Dragon, didn't that have more of that espionage? Like,
yeah, it was very James Bond. Asian, James Asian Bond.
Yeah.
Jason.
Jason.
Jason Bond.
So, but you say Karate Kid was a good example of contemporizing. And I'm not going to disagree with you, yeah, because I do think that movie works for its era. The original still works for its era, hmm, and this new one works for itself too, where it's not...
I just feel like the newer... Well, I don't feel like I should defend myself, but I'm just gonna say. Like, the newer Karate Kid, they kind of took a little more seriousness into, like, the martial arts aspect of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, the 80s one was a bunch of beach bums.
Mall kids.
Learning karate at a mall.
At a strip mall, yeah, yeah.
Like, these Asian kids can actually kill me, which is why I'm more convinced, like, there's more of a threat there.
I see. Yeah. They brought a sense of realism. Now, that's what I was saying, though, is that the original Karate Kid works as a period piece, I suppose, because it's these... it wasn't at the time, but it is now. It's got the 80s stamp right all over it.
Yeah.
Just like the Breakfast Club, for crying out loud. Hey, you asked a movie that could be contemporized and maybe done well. They did Breakfast Club in a way with, it was Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans in Perfect Score, where they just took that mash of John Hughes characters and then plopped them in a modern setting.
Yeah.
Unmemorable, because I doubt you guys even remembered that film.
I do, because I had a buddy that looked like the Asian guy in there. Okay. That stole the test score.
It was me.
Was it Ben?
Oh, y'all!
You look more like a stoner.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Well, let's leave it to casting. We'll see who they cast.
Yeah.
Is there anyone but Jason Statham that should be in the in the Death Wish one?
Frank Grillo is casted for Death Wish.
Really?
The rumor was going to be Liam Neeson, because it's Joe Carnahan directing.
Okay. Yeah.
And he just did The Gray with Liam. Mm-hmm. And with Liam.
This is really further along than I thought it was.
Script's already in the works.
Well, Frank Grillo, people may know him from?
The Gray,
okay.
He was Diaz in The Gray.
Okay.
And he was Joel Edgerton's trainer in
Warrior.
Okay. And then I think he was doing TV before that.
You know...
And it was Rapist number 3 and Death Wish 3.
Oh, good. Bring it back.
His father was. Well,
with that director and that actor cast in that gives me hope that it could be taken seriously.
Yeah.
It'll be more than just, let's just get it out there with the namesake. Bloodsport, on the other hand, that's what I'll say, leave up to casting.
Yeah.
But I think Death Wish, the revenge scenario, the anti-hero, that works well. I think people are all for that. Look at Taken.
I love it.
Yeah. So, that one I'm not as concerned. Bloodsport's the one where I'm like, seriously, come on. Chris Klein, right? Can we get...
How about Revenge of the Nerds? Reversed.
What,
Revenge
girls?
Revenge of the Jocks.
Revenge of the Jocks.
Yes, because if you look at it now, like, all the big heads of things, like CEOs and stuff, is Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, all nerds.
They're all nerds. Yeah, nerds finally rule the world.
Yes. And what would happen if, like, jocks from still, like, looking back on their high school glory days, like, want to recap that?
We gotta get these nerds!
Yeah!
Nerds! Yeah. Revenge of the Jocks.
Yes.
Well, it's funny you should
say
that.
Make it happen.
Because...
It's on Netflix.
Back in 2008, they released the first teaser poster for Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams one.
Yeah.
On the same day, they released the teaser poster for Revenge of the Nerds. They had put it into pre-production, a remake of Revenge of the Nerds, and then they canned it. But it was the glasses that the main character from the nerd glasses.
Yeah,
that was the poster, but nothing ever came of it. So maybe we will see Revenge of the Nerds in the next few years. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, it was just the poster that was released, so I can say, when I first moved to California in 2007, I saw a preview, and I told you about this: Nazis on the Moon.
Yeah,
remember that? And I was like, whatever happened to that movie?
There's a preview out now.
Yeah, it's Iron Sky, that in World War II, the Nazis hit on the moon and planned their revenge, and now they're back.
So that's happening?
This is a real, legit movie that has been being made for like 7 years.
Awesome. Executive producer, Quentin Tarantino.
Anyway, but that's beside the fact.
Sounds almost as good as Oh Zombie.
Oh Zombie.
You guys hear this?
What other news story you got for us? We moved on. Are we done with Bloodsport?
I have one more. Do you have any news at all? Or do you guys have any news?
No.
I had news, but Then you told me it's been disproven, so I will say briefly, there was a rumor that Harrison Ford was going to reprise his role as Deckard, but then someone came out and said, never mind.
Yeah, producer said no, but then I just read before coming here, Ridley Scott said, I don't know, like, maybe. We don't even have a script ready yet, but he said if we're going to do, like, a sequel, like, with Deckard, that he would not be against Harrison Ford coming back. He would love that.
Well,
so...
And Joe from the deli shop has confirmed that yes, Harrison Ford will be in it.
But yes. I think that's something we could go in more depth if we do a Blade Runner cast.
That's true.
Because
it's true.
We could talk about the ending of that and how a sequel would work.
So it's to be continued in this conversation. Oh. Okay, well, you have one more news story.
Yes, I do. The next one, I title
you're
it.
Giggling about it.
So territorial over his news.
What?
Yes, I do.
It's mine.
My news.
Can I see the paper? Oh, it hit me. I got too close to the paper.
There's two movies in one in this one, so I'll call this Old Guys Who Are Too Old for Their Profession.
Okay.
The first one is Stand Up Guys, starring Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, and Alan Arkin as retirees who used to be hitmen. And they two of them get a last job, and their last hit is one of their friends. So they kind of, like, spend the whole day, like, contemplating, should we go through with it?
They're, like, drinking their Metamucil. Like, yeah. How are we going to do this?
How are we going to do it?
It's Alan Arkin. He's very...
And it's supposed to be a comedy, so how do you feel about that?
Well, as long as it's a comedy, it's old. So it's going to be, like, Gone Fishing with Danny Joe. Ooh, what a reference.
So down.
You know, I like to liken it to Space Cowboys.
Oh, God. So we're going to have that creepy... They're going to do a younger face of someone who sort of looks like Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's going to do the voice for that guy. Ugh, you ever see Space Cowboys?
Yeah.
So disturbing.
He's doing a new movie.
Eastwood?
Yeah, he's getting directed by somebody else, too.
Yeah. No.
Baseball movie.
Cool. Yeah.
So he's going to be the pitcher?
Sorry to segue. Let's talk about Eastwood.
Oh, hey, an old guy who might be a little too old to be doing what he's doing.
Dude, he's awesome. You watch your dirty mouth.
That Halftime in America commercial was great. I watched it twice because I was like, yeah.
Go to Detroit and buy things.
It is Halftime in America. Someone on Facebook put a great thing. It was like the Halftime America commercial, and they're like, I expected this to end with Obama 2012. Anyway, we segued. If you want to see an old guy hitman movie, The Limey, starring Terrence Stamp.
Hell yeah.
That is an awesome movie. I mean, Terrence Stamp, he's old. It was probably like a 10-year-old movie, so his 70s. I don't know how old
It was like 95, 96 or something.
Well, then maybe he wasn't Soderbergh. As old as I'm remembering it. But yeah, Soderbergh, who is so good at taking people you'd never expect to be good in something and then making... That Sasha Grey movie, which was okay, and what he did with
Haywire,
yeah.
It's
like,
but was it good?
Haywire?
Yeah.
I liked it. I know Steve didn't like it.
I didn't really care for it too much.
Maybe it was one of those low expectations sort of things.
Yeah. I had high expectations.
So Al Pacino, Alan Arkin,
Christopher Walken.
And Christopher Walken as hitmen.
Still down.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as Christopher Walken's in it, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
That's the big sell for me.
If Al Pacino doesn't yell, he might be good.
Well, two out of three of those guys are great at comedies. Arkin and, Walken are great comedians.
Walken.
Great timing. Very good. Pacino, Jack and Jill.
Old as
He is super old.
Yeah.
He was actually funny in Jack and Jill. Like, he was the only bearable thing in that movie. The fact that I'm embarrassed that I've even watched it. But the fact that he was in that movie made it semi-bearable. Because he was just, like, the creepiest son of a bitch.
You are the only person 14 and older that saw that movie.
Seriously.
Glad
to hear. Might be.
And another coworker that saw it multiple times.
So
no
Mike,
naming names.
So everyone, Mike recommends Jack and Jill. Yeah, anyway, moving on. You had another old guy doing something.
Yeah, not as old, but they're still pretty old. Interns, starring Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. The Wedding Crashers crew is reuniting for a couple of middle-aged guys who are, like, kind of rethinking their careers, so they go intern for like a Google-like company.
Okay.
They have to like...
And they're 40.
Yeah, and they're like fighting off these like 22-year-old fresh out of college kids too. So, and then hijinks ensue.
Well, I'm sure Vince Vaughn, Vince Vaughn will definitely have a moment to rail on a young man about how he's not good enough. Doesn't know how to respect the era that Vince Vaughn came out of. Same director? Todd Phillips?
No, it is Sean Levy. Yeah. So, Real Steel.
Oh. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
On the upside, Vince Vaughn usually takes over every movie he's involved in. Yeah. So, that's not bad. That's not bad. That's a funny premise.
I like those two as a combo.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good.
Wedding Crashers is one of those movies that kind of revitalized the R-rated comedy. Yeah. And said, hey, guess what, adults? You can come see R-rated movies, too.
Yeah.
And great movie overall, Wedding Crashers was...
Hilarious.
Yeah, still good. Still good. Old school Wedding Crashers, like that era of... what's Vince Vaughn done lately that's worth talking about?
Four Christmases.
Red Claws.
Red Claws.
Well played, sir.
Great job. Right off of Giovanni's Golden Globe win for John Adams. So I'm going to go make Santa Claus movie. Well, that sounds like it could be funny, but
yeah.
Again, really, we'll see.
Good, interesting high concept premise.
That's some good news.
Yeah. Did you say you had news?
Well, it's more trailer stuff. Did you guys talk Spider-Man or Bourne Legacy yet?
Oh, well, let's trailer trash song going on. Banjo.
Fantastical.
Well, since Steve brought us into the trailer trash, would you pick one? Start with one.
All right. I saw the Bourne Legacy trailer this morning. Did you guys?
I did not.
I saw it this morning as well.
Did it look awesome? Did you see it? I saw it with him.
Okay. I did not see it. So tell me, guys, what do I have to look forward to?
I'm excited. Edward Norton is in it. Everybody else is the same cast.
Rachel Weisz.
And then we have
Jeremy Renner
as Bourne.
Josh Bourne.
Johnny Bourne.
You're kidding. I wouldn't put it past him. Like
from the Guatemala unit.
Jason Bourne. Yes, identity.
See, Bourne.
Si, señor.
Okay. Tell me about the trailer.
So what I got from the trailer is this guy that Jeremy Renner is playing. His character was actually there from the get-go.
Yeah, it's like, there was not only one.
Okay. Retcon.
Yep. Okay, cool. Now, that makes it more interesting, because I was, like, hesitant about it, because I thought they were rebooting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same writer, too. It's the same writer as all the other three.
He wrote all the other ones.
Okay.
And Armageddon, so he's gonna, to me, at least.
Don't know about that one, but he's directing as well.
Is it? It's not Greengrass, is it?
It's Tony Gilroy.
Okay.
Tony Gilroy.
Michael Clayton.
And Duplicity.
Yeah, I like Duplicity.
Fantastic, that one.
I like Multiplicity better.
Yes!
Awesome!
Where's a record scratch sound effect to put there? So this Jeremy Renner's character, does he have a name? No, they didn't say it in the trailer. So he's part of the same program that Jason was involved in. But does he not remember who he is either? Is this like another, who am I?
It seems like he doesn't really know who he is, but I'm not sure.
We don't know either.
Well, how does this look in comparison to the other Bourne movies?
It looks good.
Yeah.
Maybe not better. The fight scenes they showed real quick didn't seem as choppy, but then again, we didn't see much of a full fight scene.
Okay.
So.
It seems less handheld.
Yeah, like the it looks like they put the camera in the guy's armpit. Just like, hold it there and fight. Yeah, that's what the fight scene
is. It looks like they might have used a tripod. Like,
they actually taped it to Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Okay. Well...
it looks promising.
You're telling people go out and watch this on the old Google right now. Like go check it out.
Yes.
So people look for it. It's coming out next year, right? Or is it this
year? Actually this summer.
This year,
okay.
August.
So it's
August.
Yeah.
It's one of the big summer blockbusters.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Sweet. Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Well, I'm a fan of Jeremy Renner just because he came up at a legitimate pace. He wasn't thrown in our face and said, "Here's the next big star." He's an actor who had a nice He wasn't Channing Tatum. He wasn't these annoying Sam Worthington. You know, he paid his dues and kind of gained his position. And I thought he was great in Mission Impossible 4.
Yeah.
You know,
and the Hurt Locker.
And, oh, of course, the Hurt Locker.
SWAT.
And SWAT. And he played Jeffrey Dahmer, didn't he? In,
really?
In a, that was one of his first films. Was a,
he really did work his way up.
Yeah, so he's... some straight-to-DVD.
Ding!
Well, okay, so I heard you mentioned another trailer, which I actually did see.
Spider-Man.
All right, now... Ben and I have discussed this on multiple occasions, how over Spider-Man I am. Just so just exhausted and fatigued by Spider-Man, and why do we have to reboot it? Why are we telling the origin again?
It's for the Twilight crowd, man.
That trailer, I'm...
There's new preteens.
There's new preteens. You gotta... One thing I hate about the Sam Raimi ones, if anything I hate, it's... the fact that Tobey Maguire doesn't talk shit to anybody.
Yeah.
He has, like, a couple of snarky lines to the whole thing, but when it comes down to it, Spider-Man is known for being a loudmouth and for talking more than he's fighting. The Amazing Spider-Man trailer showed me him he's being a smart-ass.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, if you're going to steal a cab, you probably shouldn't dress up like a car thief. That's funny. And that gives me hope that maybe, just maybe, I will like this movie.
Yeah. That part really reeled me in.
I thought this new trailer, like, the trailer before this, I was like, oh, garbage, okay, I need to watch that.
What a great-looking video game.
Yeah, just walking hands and shit.
Mirror's Edge.
This one really changed my mind. I thought, I'm kind of excited for it now. I thought it looked quite awesome. But yeah. I've been let down by trailers and movies.
Trailers lie. Yeah. That's, yeah. You always got to remember trailers lie.
But Andrew Garfield's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not hesitant about the actors at all. Like Emma Stone, that's like a huge upgrade over Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Kirsten Dunst was nominated for a Golden Globe when she was 12.
She was?
For Interview with the Vampire.
She was nominated for that?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. She's great.
Revoked. Oscar nominated actress.
No. Kirsten Dunst. Emma Stone is superior to Kirsten Dunst. Oh, Dennis Leary, whoever is the lizard dude, he looks kind of cool.
The lizard did look cool.
Yeah.
So the cast is good. It really just comes down to the fact that, keep saying.
It's just too soon.
Yeah.
Well, it's like our complaints about Superman. Everybody knows the origin story. Like, does it need to be thrown in our face for the millionth time?
I like to make wild predictions. Oh, you're hoping your car doesn't get scraped?
Bumblebee, no!
He's probably done it once.
He backs out in reverse. Like, that's how good he is.
Jesus. This place scares me. It's fucking
terrible. What was I saying? We're totally derailed here.
We were talking about origin stories.
I like to make predictions. Ben knows that. I like to make wild predictions and they come true. I like to rub it in people's faces.
TC Domus.
I'm better than
TC Domus. I think that, here's my prediction for Amazing Spider-Man. Norman Osborn is hinted at because it is Oscorp, but Green Goblin will probably be the villain in the second movie, or they're setting up for the Venom to fix Venom because Topher Grace really screwed that up.
Yeah.
But in the Ultimate Comics, what happened was Peter's dad was developing a cure for cancer and created what would be the Venom costume. He made it specifically for his DNA, so that's why when Peter wore the symbiote, it allowed him to do really cool things. Mm-hmm. But when Eddie Brock wore it, it was... So the briefcase and the whole his dad worked for... Oh, batteries are dying!
Mayday!
Anthony Aziz!
Okay, so I think they're setting up for Venom, but that's just my wacky prediction. I broke my chair.
I think it's going to all come down to execution. Mark Webb, huge fan of 500 Days of Summer. But how much of it will be his vision? Will Sony, you know, just play him as a puppet like they did with Sam Raimi?
Yeah.
So how's it going to go down with their relationship, you know?
And that's the problem with a lot of these superhero movies that have such a big investment in them. That's why Favreau left. That's why Kenneth Branagh's not coming back for Thor.
Yeah.
It's these directors aren't allowed to go fully into their vision, like you said. So, look, Sony has nothing to worry about. This movie's going to make so much money.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the fuck is in it.
It's gonna
be money. But Batman Forever made a boatload of money. Batman and Robin made a boatload of money because people are just gonna go see that crap. Superman 3 made a lot of money, and that was a crappy movie. It's just people are gonna go see it. So just trust the director. So yeah, you're right. If Mark Webb was able to have control of this piece, we may be looking at something that allows us to forget the Sam Raimi ones.
Yeah.
Especially the Spider-Man 3 travesty. Oh,
which was studio influence, totally that was destroying all
student,
it.
Yeah, studio influence, yeah.
Butt raping it.
And I do like Gwen Stacy a lot. She's one of the forgotten loves of Peter Parker.
Yeah, in Spider-Man lore, there's two deaths that shaped him as a person. Mm. As a fictional comic book character.
But as a character.
Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy's death. Or, spoiler alert, screw you if you didn't know that. I'm sorry. Spider-Man kills Gwen.
Gwen's an alien!
Yeah, there it is. I spoiled it.
He does?
I feel good about it.
Like on accident?
Yeah. Oh,
wait,
man. I actually don't.
Do you even know who Gwen Stacy is?
Is it the girl?
I feel bad now.
She's
not
the redhead. It's a girl. It's Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Stone. Is it Kirsten Dunst?
No, yeah, Kirsten Dunst is Jane. Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other
one. Excuse me!
I think you should leave the room.
Au contraire.
Anyway.
Let's
move on. I didn't mean to spoil that. I was being very... Quick, another trailer! How about the Avengers trailer from the Super Bowl spot?
Yeah, the Super Bowl TV spot. First time we see the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
First time Captain America fought and didn't look like he was CG'd the whole time.
What are you talking about? He jumped over that car with ease. Well, that's what you're saying. It looked real.
Yeah. Chris Evans did all that.
Nice.
I think Joss Whedon's going to bring the right thing that I feel Thor and Captain America vastly lack.
Well, it'll be another one of those, can this get away without too much studio influence? Mm-hmm. Joss Whedon is a master at ensemble storytelling, but will he be allowed to do that?
He wrote and directed.
Well, he was co-writer. He didn't write.
Yeah, well,
you got the guy who wrote X-Men 3 wrote this script.
Oh, Jesus.
Just saying.
Zach Penn.
Zach Penn.
Who is also on board for the First Class sequel.
Well, okay. He's hit or miss, I suppose. The trailer looked cool. It didn't give me much more than what the other trailer had. And
to the Hulk!
Except the Hulk, yeah. And
there's more fighting.
I'm sorry, let me rephrase. It didn't change my feelings about the movie. Yeah. It didn't make me feel anything different than the first one. I think, okay, yeah, this could be cool, but I'm still hesitant.
I've kind of lost my love for Marvel movies.
Yeah,
I feel it's
said,
gotten
you're,
so
you're,
cartoony.
You're marveled out, like you said.
Like that 360 pan of them just like all standing together.
10 years ago, I would have been like, oh my god! But now I see it.
Ben would have loved this. Stop it!
But now I see it and I just think,
Yeah.
It's only one real movie this year. It's called The Dark Knight Rises.
It's true. Everything else is just secondary.
Starring Meryl Streep.
Maybe Prometheus.
Meryl Streep's in The Dark Knight.
Meryl Streep as Batman.
So then Batman will finally get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, finally. What do we got to do around here?
You mean win.
Something beyond sound mixing.
Would she be nominated for Best Actor? Would she be nominated for Best Actor for that? Wait, what was Cate Blanchett nominated for? Actress or actor?
For what?
For when she played John.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
She was actress.
Okay. She's playing a dude. Yeah. Well, she was playing a guy.
But she's a girl.
Not in that movie.
She did a really good job, though.
So Meryl Streep is Batman. We're all on board here?
I like it.
What?
We're going. Let's recast Superman here. Come on,
where are the rest of the tea and crumpets going?
Oh my god. Me is Batman? No.
I hope she hears this.
Love you, Meryl.
There
are times where I can't watch Meryl Streep because she looks so much like my mother. It disturbs me that she'll do some. She'll be in a role and I'll be like, oh god, it's my mom. God.
Like when she was in, what's that one new rom-com she was in with Alec Baldwin?
Oh, yes.
She's like, I feel like such a slut right now. Mrs. DeWitt!
Any other trailers? if I'm reading this correctly, we were all very impressed with Spider-Man. You guys were very excited about Jason Bourne, but Avengers kind of was like, more Avengers. Yeah.
I think it's totally going to be a fun summer movie.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm only excited because of the name attached to the director's seat.
Are you a Whedon fanboy?
Whedon fanboy.
Brown coat, son.
Maybe, just maybe, he'll have so much success from this, they'll let him make another Firefly movie. Oh. I'll let that settle in as we decide what the next topic of conversation will be.
That's all the trailers I had. Oh, yeah.
I didn't expect you to bring any news.
Yeah. Ridley Scott says he's interested in doing Prometheus 2.
Wow, just jumping right into that.
As well as Blade Runner
2. Well, there was a trailer for the HBO movie. Game Change, the Sarah Palin movie.
Oh.
That looked awful. Oh, first off, why do we need a movie about...
Yeah.
She's, like, irrelevant now. And plus, no one can do a better Sarah Palin than Tina Fey.
That's true. Yeah. Although, I saw the preview, and Julianne Moore looks like she's doing her best Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. When I try to do impressions, I just look for someone who does the impression, and then I do the impression of that impression. Looks like Julianne Moore's doing the same thing.
So you saw the trailer?
I did see the trailer.
Did you like how, like, over-dramatic everything was?
It looked like a Funnier Die trailer.
Yeah! Like, I need to do something.
I can't go back to Alaska.
Not now.
Yeah, I can't do this. I have to take this all the way. Whatever. All right. Well, gentlemen, we are watching a movie today that I think only two of us have seen.
Babe. Pig in the City.
Yes. So come on back for our review.
Baby's Day Out.
Of Babe, Pig in the City.
I've actually seen that. I have it.
James Cromwell was nominated for an Oscar for his portrayal of that farmer in the first Babe movie.
That first Babe movie was nominated for Best Pick.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Before Best Picture nominee.
It was expanded to like 10 pictures. It was nominated in the year like Braveheart was nominated.
I mean, maybe it's worth rewatching.
Maybe it is.
There's something going on here. There must have been something.
So forget our movie of the day. Here comes Babe. Okay, 1988, Akira. Japanese movie. The whole bunch of names that I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce.
Come on.
Even though I know you love watching me struggle.
Just one.
Oh, and I found it's Jean Desjardins.
Not Jean Dujardin.
And it's not Jean Dujardin from the artist. It's Jean Desjardins. Well, anyway, Akira, 1988. I'm joined. Ben, welcome back.
Hello.
Steve, welcome.
Yo.
Closer to the microphone.
And yo.
Mike had to leave, so too bad. His first experience and... this was his first
movie. It scared him off.
Yeah. He's like, you know what, guys? I'm out of here. Well, I'll just recap the movie real quick, just in case you guys have no idea what we just watched. I know Jasmine doesn't know what we just watched. Candace walked in halfway through, and she doesn't know what we just watched. So I'll just explain it real quick. Okay, real quick. So it's the post-apocalypse. It's 2019. The world has moved on because of some giant World War III explosion, right? And there's a group of scientists who are genetically altering children to have mind powers. And one of their subjects, believe me, I may be wrong on this, they let him go to public school, like he wasn't part of the program anymore, and turns out, well, he's the best one, and I'm screwing this up. let's try this again. Okay.
I think that's Babe.
Yeah, that was the Babe. Okay, here, I wrote it down. Let me show you. Okay, so there's political unrest in the future, 2019, in Neo-Tokyo after the apocalypse, after World War III, okay? And everyone's protesting because the government sucks, and they're waiting for some survivor named Akira or Akira to show up and save them all, who Akira was apparently someone super powerful pre-World War III that was locked away, and they're waiting for him to come back, okay? Right? And then some genetic experiments break free, and they find... while they're trying to capture this little kid with mind powers, they come across Tetsuo, who happens to have the best genetics for these mind power experiments. So they pump him full of the drugs to let him start absorbing the energy and becoming powerful. But he's crazy, and it goes to his head, and then he gets out of control, and he starts tearing up the city, and his friends are like, don't do it, no! And he's like, ah, I'm all powerful. Oh, no, I'm out of control now. I'm going to find that Akira because I'm better than him. What? Akira doesn't really exist anymore? I'm crazy! Then he gets mutated and then he kills some friends.
He pops a girl.
And then he pops a girl with his blubber. And then the only way to take him out is to absorb him in with the other characters and their mind powers. And see, it's I just talked for like 5 minutes. let's talk about the text.
You guys want to take a stand? More.
What happened? What happened? Yeah, that's about the gist.
They had bikes.
They had bikes, yes.
There were bikes.
Let's talk. How about this? Forget the story. Let's just talk about the technical achievements of this movie at the time, okay?
There was a guy named Canada.
Canada, yes.
And Andrew was in it.
First and foremost, Andrew, from Chronicle. We'll get to that. Actually, you know what? I'll get to that. Why don't you guys talk for a little bit? I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
Well, let's talk technical.
Okay.
Fun fact.
Yes.
160,000 animation cells went into this movie.
That is a lot more than normal, especially for the 80s. It's more for
For 80s anime, because they like to cut corners a lot on their productions to keep the cost low. But this is like one of the first ones where you could see like the character's mouth move, and the characters are moving too, and they're not just standing statically
with their mouth moving. Oh my god, Dad, what are you talking about? Speed Racer style, yeah. It was the most expensive anime at the time, coming out of Japan. Most frames. They had to create new colors for this movie. Because a lot of the movie takes place at night, and night is something that's avoided in animation of that era.
Yeah.
So because they set it a lot at night, they had to develop new colors for the animation.
Midnight blue.
Midnight blue. Blue steel. Now this is adapted from a comic book series that is 5,000 pages long.
Jesus.
It's volumes and volumes of hundreds of pages, but I'm sure it's a lot of standing around and talking. Because there were some exposition scenes in this where I kept looking at you guys and going, did everyone get that? That was story. But this movie is all about, at least for me, the animation. I mentioned I love how the smoke looks and the fire and the water.
Yeah.
And the story's so convoluted. And so maybe I'm just not smart enough to understand what the hell I think I got the gist of it.
There were bikes.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing. Technically, that they did differently that Japan's doesn't normally do is they recorded the dialogue first.
Oh well.
And in Japanese animation, they finish the movie and then record the audio. In every other Japanese animation, so like even Dragon Ball Z and Naruto. Wait, is Naruto American made? Whatever. It's typical of Japanese films to make the whole movie and then do the voice acting. That's why it's a lot of that open mouth, oh my god, oh my god, because they know what's going to be said, they just haven't recorded it. With Akira, at least, we watched the American dub in the Japanese version. It's actually synced to their mouths. Yeah. Well,
that was
you've never seen
confusing. Yeah, that was the first time I've seen it. Have you seen it before, Steve?
No, this is my first time.
Oh, wow, okay. I'm the
you
only one.
You popped two cherries.
And Mike's.
Mike as well had never seen it before.
So you've seen it?
I've seen it, yeah. Okay. I had seen it when I was like 12 or 13, and I'm like, wow, the motorcycles are so cool! And then if you'd ask me what I just watched, I'd be like, well, there's motorcycles. And there's arm thing. And then I watched it again, you know, like 10 years ago. And realized, wow, this is really complicated film.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
have no idea what's going on. And rewatching it again today, I could follow the story up to a point. It pretty much that third act, the last half hour, once it gets to like the stadium and the satellite thing comes down, I feel like that should have been the climax of the movie. But no, everyone pulls back. There's a little more talking, and then they go back to fight him again. And that's where it really falls apart.
Plenty of ending fatigue, without a doubt.
Peter Jackson would be proud.
Now, is it as good as you remember? I mean, like...
It's almost... Okay, well,
Did you ever think it was really good?
The 13-year-old me thought it was amazing. It's one of those films that, it seems to me, comic book geeks of a younger age, 15, 16, they talk about it all pretentiously. Like, yes, Akira is the finest of the anime. And don't get me wrong. It really bridged the gap between Japan and America as far as nerd culture cinema is concerned. When Akira was imported over, it was a huge effect on the subculture of comic book fans. But it has a pretentious fan base of people who probably have never even seen it. Like, I will post this on a film buff site that I'm a Facebook group friends with. I'll post our rewatchman on there. And I have a feeling a lot of people are going to have opinions about this movie, but I doubt half of them have seen this movie.
They just know it for its legacy,
right,
so to speak.
Well, and again, the technical aspects of it, the animation, this is hand-drawn. This is incredibly well done.
It looked fantastic. I mean, like, it looks better than most animes today, I think. I mean, I loved it. I like the art design and... They definitely took some cues from other things, or, you know...
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner has a huge influence on a lot of the structural architecture, the night colors, and the way the, like, city lights looked and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Just the future, the idea of the future in general. Mike put it best right when the movie started. He said, I'm glad we're not as fucked up as people thought we were going to be. It's so dystopian. It is like Blade Runner in the grittiness of it, and man, weird. The water was greenish brown everywhere you went, and there's just garbage everywhere, and nobody seemed happy. The police station was a school gym converted into a police station. I don't know if you know what I'm saying, where all the punk kids are arrested. So.
Bunch of road warrior gangs and stuff. Yeah. Like.
There's kids running rampant on their really kick-ass motorcycles.
It's real achievement in its animation. It's the violence. Like, the fluidity in its movements and just, like, the disgustingness of the gore.
The blood.
Yeah, it was cool and gross at the same time.
Because before that, it was, like, what, heavy metal was doing, like, some gore to an extent?
Yeah. And
I mean, not as detailed as this, for sure, but...
It was another one of those things America wasn't used to. When this came over, people were so affected by it. And people had been seeing Disney movies for decades.
Yeah.
And suddenly they see this...
What?
It changed.
You can't do that with a cartoon.
Exactly, though. That was the mentality of it. Aside from heavy metal, which was in that era as well, people's concept of cartoons were, oh, this is for the family. This is for kids. Adult cartoons. No, 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 no. And then Akira kind of broke that boundary in the American sense.
Yeah.
But nowadays, we see stuff like, we watch that and it's like, yeah. Aeon Flux from the 90s, South Park does ridiculous stuff.
It's the Spawn cartoon series from HBO.
The late 90s. Anime is so accessible now. It's still part of a subculture. I mean, people are rushing out to watch the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie when it's in theaters. But there's definitely
a
larger fan base for this now than there was in the past. But is this something that needs to be remade? There's so much talk. They tried it before. They just shut it down again. Watanabe was going to be the general with the mohawk.
Robert Pattinson as Kaneda.
Yeah, right.
God
but
damn it.
Could this handle being remade? I know what I feel, but what do you think?
This is just like Watchmen as the comic book is unfilmable. I don't like not just in its hyperviolence, but the story. This is not accessible whatsoever. How you can't make money off that story.
So
it'll
much.
Turn so many people off.
Yeah, and that's probably why the book is 5,000 pages. Yeah. It's a lot of standing and talking and regurgitating.
Maybe it'd be a cool HBO series.
That's the AMC, FX. Like, yeah. Nowadays, it's like when you have source material that's so complex, nobody wants to see a movie. No intelligent person wants to see a movie. They want to see a miniseries handling it. So, what do you feel?
I feel like it just can't be made. Like, I mean, if you're going to make it, you have to put way too much money into it. And no studio, I don't think, will submit to that kind of money.
Mm-hmm. The studios interested in making this probably don't understand the content. They're just seeing the visuals.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. If that motorcycle was done in real life, if the arm thing, it'd be super CG, but maybe it would look cool. Mm-hmm. I could see it looking
with the right amount of money.
With the right amount of money. I don't want to see John Carter from Mars CG.
Yeah.
I want to see Avatar level CG. Yeah, the story's, like you said, Ben, there's too much here.
It's already super complex, and if they were to remake it to appeal to an American audience, it'll probably be really dumbed and watered down.
Super watered down.
Probably, like, it'll probably just be like Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
No more blood, no more gore, no more violence. They would make it as accessible as possible.
Yeah.
If you break it down to the most interesting aspect to me is the story of, okay, Kaneda and Tetsuo. Kaneda's the cool kid who took Tetsuo under his wing. Tetsuo just wants to be the cool kid. And suddenly he has this power, and it completely corrupts him because he doesn't understand it. He can't control it. He loses his mind. He thinks he's the biggest badass now, but he has no control over himself, and he loses himself in that. There's no way they could do that any better than Chronicle did it.
Yeah. I mean, Chronicle's the closest I think we'll ever get, and personally, I like Chronicle's story a lot better than this.
But
I love the undertones in Akira. I mean, like, the whole, like, idea of these, like, street gangs. Akira's this, like, messiah that everybody's waiting for to come back.
Mm-hmm.
The cops are all oppressive and the government's all screwed up. I mean, I love all that. I like the setting and everything, but when it came down to actual storytelling, they were trying to pack too much
in two hours.
It's just a bunch of ideas rather than it being followed through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of just, that whole government stuff in Neo-Tokyo, that's just shoved aside, like, the later half of the movie.
But yeah. The K character, who's the activist with the dude with the mustache. I know there's lots of mustaches.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, that whole plot is, you're right, tossed aside by the end of it. Mm-hmm. There's no real, they're not delving into it enough to make it essential.
Could have made it real cool, though. I think that storyline would have been the more interesting of
following the waiting of this messiah, this overthrowing of the government, the political activist-ness of it.
Yeah.
And that might be what could be most accessible now if they tried to remake it, because people are unhappy. You got all these Occupy Wall Street crap and, I hate the president and stuff like that. That's always what sci-fi is about. It's always about paralleling present day and masking it with
aliens
or time travel, just the ridiculously futuristic and tricking people into facing the present day. So there's that political aspect of it that could be handled well. But again, miniseries would be better because you could really, really develop that character. What was the point of her character? Kaneda was hitting on her for 20 minutes, and he was trying to save her, and then she was being controlled by the little midgets, the Marlon Brando midget.
I don't know about you guys, this is a huge problem for me. Like, whenever I'm watching, especially an action movie, I need, like, really good, strong characters to help really push the action along, or else it's just a bunch of set pieces after another. And I felt like the main two leads were really unsympathetic, you know?
Yeah.
Tetsuo and
you just Kaneda. Had no one to root for.
Yeah.
Like, John McClane, when he gets into problems, he's likable. He's a tough guy, though. Mm-hmm. But the whole time you're like, dude, kick some ass. Come on.
Yeah. Let's see how he's going to get out of this.
Yeah.
And Kaneda's a dick the whole time. And then we're supposed to cheer for him and stuff. And
he even stole his awesome bike.
Yeah. Well, in the right hands, Kaneda could, again, if they were to remake this, that's something you want to see is, and that's what Chronicle got right. Matt, the character of Matt, is not a nice dude at the beginning. He's a stoner. He's like, I'm against the cool kids, whatever. And you watch him.
A dick to his cousin.
He's a dick, yeah. But you watch him slowly redeem himself. Hmm. And at the same time, you're rooting for. See, you haven't seen it yet, I understand. I'm trying not to spoil.
Yeah.
But you're rooting for Andrew, who's the Tetsuo avatar, and you watch his downward spiral at the same time. You can connect to those characters in Chronicle where you, like you said, Ben, you can't connect to those characters in Akira.
Yeah.
Because they're just very flat. Hmm. No, maybe if we knew more about... there's the last scene near the end of the movie where Kaneda sees Tetsuo's memory of how they met.
Yeah.
You know, Tetsuo got beat up because he's the new kid, and Kaneda stood up for him and got his doll back. Hmm. Wouldn't that have been great at the beginning of the movie?
Had they shown that beforehand, because we don't understand the complexity of their relationship at first. We just assume, and they just, you know, say it in passing conversation, you know, so you just have to assume that, okay, they were friends before and what have you. And at first, it seemed like they were pretty tight. So I don't know what would lead Tetsuo, other than drugs, to actually, like, go against Kaneda and everything. So it was all really confusing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just kind of turns into a douche, like, out of nowhere, like, yeah, I'm buff, fuck you.
Well, this movie did break a lot of ground. Like I said, it broke down barriers between Japan and America in cinema, and kind of created a new subculture of, Speed Racer came in the 80s as well, and started creating this subculture of anime fans in America. Does this movie hold up to someone like, you guys have never seen this before? Can you see why this is important to some people, or are you just kind of confused?
No, still do, absolutely. I think the problems we had, it's just story-wise, and I don't think anyone has ever cared. Because every time someone talks about Akira, they talk about technical achievements.
Mm-hmm.
They never mention, like, I didn't know who Tetsuo was, or Kaneda. Yeah. So they're not, like, memorable characters.
They're remembering the cool motorcycle.
Yeah.
They're remembering the arm thing, which is all you kept saying. It's like, when are they going to get to the arm thing? I thought the other guy had the arm thing.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, this is going to be way cooler, man.
It's still really cool to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before pre-YouTube, I remember there were videos you could find online, and someone had taken Zero Gravity. Is that the... It's not enough! It's an industrial band from the 90s, and they had taken the Akira movie and made, like, a music video, and they just took all the coolest parts from Akira and set it to that music, and it was like, oh, this video is so cool, and then you watch the movie, and it's like, man, I wish I was watching that 5-minute music video, again because I'd get everything I wanted and not have to suffer through this overly complex story.
For me personally, like, I was pretty tired today, so The flick probably wasn't the best choice.
I saw you futzing over there a lot. You kept dropping your bottle.
But I mean, like, I didn't think the story was complete crap. I mean, I just think it could have been...
I hope I'm not coming off that way.
Definitely could have been molded into something more, something a little more streamlined and, like, less convoluted. And just kind of focus on the story they're talking about and not all the other little side plots, you know.
And
just tone it in.
That might come across better in 5,000 pages of comic book.
Yeah.
You have all this time to develop these characters and this story. And maybe it just came down to a screenwriter going, what can I take here to tell a mostly coherent story?
Maybe it should have been a trilogy.
Yeah, yeah. And seeing how expensive it was to make it, I doubt anyone thought of that at the time. Like, no! Are you kidding? You know how much money we pumped into this thing? And, you know, their lips are moving, their voice is coming at a different pace.
We must do it now!
They probably will make an Americanized version of this.
Sooner or later. They've been trying really hard.
Yeah, they've been trying for a long time. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we have a couple movies that are already made that, like, you could just take
fill this void.
I mean, like, Total Recall. Mm-hmm. Like, I caught a lot of, like, stuff that felt like Akira probably influenced Total Recall, because I think Total Recall was 89?
I'd look it up, but we'll just keep talking.
I think it was 89. But, like, the whole, like, idea of this, like, resistance and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, the crazy, like, baby things. And
Quaid!
You know, I feel like that kind of deals with, like, the resistance thing, and I think Chronicle just handles that friendship of these people with
mm-hmm.
extreme amounts of power perfectly.
I mean, character aspect of it.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Actually, it might have been you, Ben, but the clown gang at the beginning. When we first are introduced to Kaneda and his crew, they are one biker gang of teenagers versus the clowns, which is another biker gang. And Ben was like, hey, the Jokers?
Yeah.
Well, if anyone's ever watched Batman Beyond, the first episode of Batman Beyond was heavily inspired by Akira. The motorcycle gang, the Jokers being the clowns, Terry McGinnis in his jacket, like everything.
And his arm.
Yeah, and his, I don't remember that. So yeah, Akira influenced a lot and was influenced by a lot. So there's, yeah, I guess we kind of go into our, what would you recommend instead of these things? I would recommend Akira for, like we've said, the technical aspect of it. It is very cool. Watch it big, watch it loud, and appreciate the fact that it was hand drawn.
Yeah.
Someone's. I'm sure it was under like some sort of now very crack the whip slave artist's drawing thing. But technically, visually, very very cool. So I would say yes, watch this movie. But on the flip side, something else you can watch. You guys have any recommendations?
Yeah.
Go, Steve.
Blade Runner. Total Recall. I definitely recommend those two of my favorite science fiction films, probably some of the best ever made. Mm-hmm. And then to keep with the whole anime thing, go watch Princess Mononoke because it's fucking fantastic.
We do have Murasaki fans in here, so yes.
Yes.
So for the sci-fi fan, you'd say Blade Runner and Total Recall.
Easily.
Yeah. And just, for the anime fan, Princess Mononoke.
Princess Mononoke. If you haven't seen it and you're a big anime fan, there's probably an issue with you. Do yourself a favor and watch his whole catalog of films.
Oh, yeah. Murasaki, we've discussed him on the cast before. He is the Japanese equivalent of Walt Disney. His films, all of them, even his not-so-great ones, are still better than most of the stuff America puts out animated-wise.
And as far as, like, recommending Akira, I say do it. Just make sure you're, like, ready to rock and roll, not come in tired and watch it. Grab a cup of coffee, and I think you should probably watch it in Japanese with some English subtitles.
Yeah, we won't, for the sake of not having to, I know we have a joke, but I don't want to read, but
yeah. I think, like, but also by reading the subtitles, the story sinks in deeper. I mean, mm-hmm. I watch movies with subtitles all the time.
Oh, yeah,
I
yeah,
have
yeah,
no problem with
Pan's
it.
Pan's Labyrinth and others. Yeah.
I'll watch, like, an American film with subtitles. I mean, I just like getting all the dialogue.
Candace's dad does that, but he's hard of hearing, so.
Oh, I'm not.
Ben.
Okay, to keep things Japanese and dystopian, I say go with Battle Royale.
Okay.
Have you seen this, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good man.
Okay. Screw Hunger Games. Go watch Battle Royale.
Don't get me started.
So it is future-esque Japan with, like, crazy government dabblings into your life and stuff. And for those who hasn't seen it, it's a group of Japanese middle school students gets kidnapped, and then they're forced to be put on this island to, like, battle each other to the death till one survives.
One of them has to survive, or they're all killed, right?
Yep.
Battle Royale!
Because they have these necklaces that go off. They're still two alive by the end of the time of the tournament. And, like, I was thinking while I was watching Akira, like, the themes of, like, corruption and having that so much power to where it corrupts you. There's like a similar situation like that in Battle Royale when, like, you're forced. These kids are, like, all good kids and they're all friends and stuff, but then they're forced to be put in this situation where they don't want to, but will you? You know, will you kill your friend if you have to?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, those themes are really powerful, and I think if it's explored further in Akira, it would have been a much more resonating movie for me.
Yeah, we're discussing the relationship between Tetsuo and Kaneda, which we don't really know that much about.
Yeah.
It should have been harder to watch and harder for them to go through in the end when Kaneda's like, no, We laughed at the line. He's like, if someone's going to kill him, it should be his friend. It was funny to us, but the gravity of that statement.
Yeah. You couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
Like, it almost felt like it was just Kaneda picking on Tetsuo all over again with a laser gun.
That could be part of the voice acting, though. Like, I feel like the delivery of the line was also, like, just so jokingly, like...
Well, voice acting really comes down to direction.
I don't know who directed them in the
movie. The American director. It could have been a lost in translation sort of thing. Like, there's a lot of... Especially when you dub a movie, you lose a lot of the original intent of the film. So, you're right, it could be the voice acting...
I'm just pretty anti, like, dubbing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that I did this one.
How dare you, Jason. How dare you.
The Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely really good, solid, thrilling, haunting dystopian.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's fun, too. It's fun, too.
And Battle Royale is another one of those films that is part of a subculture. Like Akira, I was saying before, is part of this subculture of kind of movie snobs. Battle Royale falls in that category too because you said I was gonna hold back but I'm gonna go there. You said fuck the Hunger Games. The Hunger Games is nothing like Battle Royale, and people keep coming up with this like, oh, it's just a rip off of Battle. America doesn't have the balls to Battle Royale. A, why would you want to see an American Battle Royale? Don't talk. B,
okay. I don't want one.
and B, it's so different. The only similarities are it's a government-controlled situation where the government says fight. And B, it's children that are fighting, 12 to 17. I'm just jumping. I hope you know I'm not being serious.
Doesn't all these stories derive from Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, though? Have you read that
story? Yes, yes. Yeah. And Hunger Games is far more like The Lottery, which did you have to read that in junior high, The Lottery? Okay, well, for those of you who know what we're talking about. So The Hunger Games is that. That's it. That's the similarities end there. The government makes them fight, and it's children fighting, but that's the end of it. Whereas Battle Royale is, it's a ninth grade class, it's this government experiment, whereas Hunger Games is about government control over these 12 different cities, or districts. I got corrected on that. I did a little blog post about this, and someone was like, it's districts. Like, I was trying to make it clear to people who don't know what I'm talking about.
Wait, was it counties?
I wrote counties, actually. I'm sorry, I wrote countries, and they were like, it's not countries, it's districts. I know, I was just trying to make it as
you
simple
as... You idiot!
But the similarities end there. Battle Royale is very much a completely different entity unto itself. And I think The Hunger Games... I just finished the first book last night.
I remember at work you were telling me like you just started.
I did it in like less than like only a few days, and it was really cool. Yeah. It's young adult fiction. It's a female protagonist that's far superior to the Twilight books.
I base all my judgments off of what I've seen in the trailer. I know nothing about the games, but that's what it looks like to me. It looks like a rip off of Battle Royale.
Right. And a lot of people think that. And I'm not jumping on you. I'm jumping at the microphone. And that, again, goes back to those snobs about Akira, who put it at such a high pedestal, but how many of them have actually seen it and understood it?
I've seen Battle Royale.
We should.
Good.
We should rewatch Battle Royale for when the Hunger Games come out.
Yeah, that's a good tie-in.
Down.
Just a side note. It smells like burning, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's the candle sweat. I just absolutely it smells like when your brain turns to blue.
It's
really hard to get.
Right? It does smell like.
The roof is on fire. The roof is on fire. The roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the mother burn. Burn, mother. Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy. I'm not old or new, but middle school, fifth grade, like
like junior high. I don't know, mofo, if y'all peeps be bugging, giving props to my bushy fly, but I can take the heat, cause I'm the other white meat known as Kid Funky Fried. Yeah, I'm hung like planet Pluto, hard to see with a naked eye, but if I crashed into Uranus, I would stick it where the sun don't shine, cause I'm kind of like Han Solo, always stroking my own Wookiee. I'm the root of all that's evil, yeah, but you can't call me Cookie. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water, let the mother burn, burn, mother.
I don't judge people on their opinion. Except for maybe Chris, our manager. did you ever meet Chris, our manager?
No, I haven't.
He thinks Bucky Larson is a funny movie.
He thinks George Clooney was a better Batman than Bale.
What?
Yeah. How anyone could think that is, I don't know. Well, before the house burns down, let me just finish up by giving my recommendation real quick. I'll give two. From an anime point of view, I did not like anime when I was younger. I didn't grow up liking it. I know a lot of people are like hardcore, like Vampire Hunter D and Death Note. And, I watched DBZ with my friends when we were in college because it was, I had fun watching it. But really, one anime that I will watch again and again is Cowboy Bebop, the series. Beautiful animation is what drew me in the first place, but an incredibly cool story as well. So if you want to watch an anime that's as accessible as it could be and not be the silliness of something like Dragon Ball Z, where you're sitting around waiting and then wackiness occurs, and then, oh, he's at 5,000! You know? And you want a story and a story that's really quite easy and fun to follow, that's very developed characters, Cowboy Bebop's the way to go.
You watch it while you're clean.
Yeah, I do. I'm clean, and I have Cowboy Bebop on. It's only 13 episodes and a movie. I'm sorry, it's 24 episodes and a movie. But it's cool characters. It's, if you like Firefly, do yourself a favor and watch Cowboy Bebop. It is the same universe.
God, I need to do that.
It's not actually the same universe, but you can see how similar the two universes are. If you want to see cowboys in space,
that's another anime they've been trying to get live action.
Yeah, whatever.
Keanu Reeves,
Steven Dorff, Cameron Diaz was forget it. No, it works perfect for what it is. It's a very cool story, and that is my live action recommendation. If you want to check out a cool dystopian future with people who are kind of against the big government and out there being friends and surviving, Firefly.
Ciao!
All right, well, you think we're going to have a lot of people mad at us for this?
Yeah. Fuck it.
I'm not saying I don't like the film.
Yeah.
Some people might think we're being a little too hard on them, or hard on this film, but I am saying it's worth a watch. You just got to be in the right mood for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, high.
Well, with all the smoke billowing through the house right now, we're going to go take care of that. You all right over there, Candace? That was the dog next door. Now.
Your girlfriend's a St. Bernard.
Well, thanks again for coming by, Steve. You know,
always.
Another appearance, and I might have to draw a cartoon of you.
Oh, man. Next week?
Mike wants to do Babe. The original Babe.
I think we need to back this one up with Blade Runner.
The Oscar-nominated Best Picture, Babe.
I should have kept my mouth shut.
God damn it. At least Braveheart won that battle. Wallace.
All right, everyone. Well, Ben, you have anything to plug? Any reviews up on your old Tumblr?
I actually just put up The Gray on cinematicbenjamin.tumblr.com.
All right.
Ciao!
Steve, you have anything to plug?
Short films coming soon, hopefully, once we get approval.
And wherever you listen to this, if you want to leave some comments below, feel free. I I enjoy all the private messages I get through the Spill community. I do read them. I do appreciate them, even the negative ones. So keep on trolling. And thanks for listening. And we'll be back again soon with another rewatched film.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Such a dumb. That's how long I've been on ya. Right, let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a f- what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask this, I'm not sure. Do anybody make real f- anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this place. So go ahead, go nuts, go ace. Especially in my pastel on my page. Act like you can't tell who made this new gospel, homie. Take six and take this, haters. That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya. Me like you. Right, I don't know if you get a man or not. If you made plans or not. If God put me in your plans or not. I'm tripping, this drink got me saying a lot. But I know that God put you in front of me. So how the hell could you front on me? It's a thousand yous, it's only one of me. I'm tripping, I'm caught up in the moment, right? Cause it's Louis Vuitton dine night. So we gon' do everything the kind like. Heard they do anything for a Klondike. Well, I'd do anything for a blind. And she'll do anything for the limelight. And we'll do anything when the time's right. Baby, you're making it better, faster, stronger. Oh, that don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't look much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya. On ya, since Prince was on Apollonia, since OJ had isotoners, don't act like I never told ya. Don't act like I 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 told ya. Baby, you're making it better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me. Stronger. I need you to hurry up now, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya. Never told ya.